all the way. I got my mind made and my heart is fixed. I'm gonna follow Jesus.
Oh. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. We are so happy this morning, oh God, that you have given us permission to lay our burdens down. Since we've come to church this morning, we feel better. We feel so much better because we are able in this space, in this place, to lay our burdens down. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, recognizing, oh God, that you rule and you super rule. God, you're just so good. Every time we think about how good you are, we can't begin to articulate with words how good you are. Father, we praise you today because we recognize that we are still yet alive. We can see our brothers and our sisters' face. We can begin to tell our own testimonies as to how you woke us up this morning and you touched us with your finger of love and you started us on our way and you gave us a mind to come back to church where we could praise and worship your holy name. And for that, we just say thank you, Lord. We just say thank you for another day. If we don't make it to Monday, God, we thank you for today. Recognizing, oh Heavenly Father, that this is a blessing all by itself. And while we are in this day, we give you praise and glory and honor because you alone are worthy to be praised. Send us a word today. You promised in your prayer that you would give us this day our daily bread. And so now we come seeking spiritual bread. Send us a word that will cause our souls to be at peace, our minds to be at rest, our spirits to be settled, and our lives to be filled with hope. Send us a word, O Heavenly Father, that will illuminate us, enlighten us, revive us, so that we might be able to go into the world and change the dynamics of the encounters that we experience every day. We do recognize that there can be peace on earth. Father, we ask you to let it begin with each one of us individually. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The word of God that was read by Brother Stephen Neal this morning, 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 13, I will read it again for emphasis, and certainly now because we are streaming our services and broadcasting to the extent that even in Geneva, Switzerland, John Zinser sent back an email saying that he enjoyed the word from last Sunday. Amen. And so from Glebe Street, we can touch folk who are around the world. And so again, for emphasis, we read the entire scripture, especially for those who may have come in after it was read this morning. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse number 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" Samuel said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse said, made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Amen. Using for a sermon subject on this, the last Sunday in the month of March 2016, simply these words: the anointing makes the difference. The anointing makes the difference. A lot of folks can do a lot of things, but if you are not anointed to do it, then certainly the extra added blessing of God that enables you an advantage that folk can't quite understand is absent from your life. Here we find, my brothers and sisters, and I just want to make 3 points. Number one, God rejected Saul. Israel had decided for themselves, as many of us do, that they wanted a king. God never told Israel they needed a king, but Israel lived comparatively. How many of us live comparatively? You see your neighbor got a Lexus, so you feel like you want a Lexus. Your neighbor got a new Mercedes, so you feel like you want a new Mercedes. Your neighbor got a man, so you feel like you want a man. Many of us live comparatively, but we have to learn how to trust in the Lord. Because what God has for you will always be what? For you, amen. We don't know how our neighbors put two and two together in order then to get what God has in store for them. So we ought to be happy when our neighbor is blessed. But when we find that we don't have what our neighbors have, we ought to seek God for what God has in store for us. So Israel wanted a king because everybody else had a king. How many of you know that what may be good for everybody else may not be good for you? And so Saul was made king over Israel because that's what they said they wanted. Sometimes God will give you what you ask for just to show you that it may not be what you need. Touch somebody and say, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And then sometimes we get things that we ask for and we're not able to handle it because we are not necessarily there yet. Amen. And so Israel got Saul, and Saul started out pretty good. But then he turned mighty bad. And once Saul turned bad, Israel started begging God to do something with Saul. And because God is merciful, God did remove Saul. God rejected Saul. God took his anointing away from Saul. God began to strip Saul from all of the power that God had given him from on high. And so it was that we find ourselves here today, that God was choosing for himself a new king. And God told Samuel, the man of God, go down to Bethlehem, and there you will find the brand new king. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that Samuel was very concerned. He said, if I go to Bethlehem and Saul hears about it, because Saul had already turned back, and he was jealous of everything, and every little thing started getting next to him because he was paranoid. Have you ever dealt with paranoid people? Thinking that everybody is wiretapping them? Thinking that they're being picked up in incidental collections? And so it is that Saul was paranoid. And because Saul was paranoid, that Samuel was aware that if Saul found out, somebody said, we don't want Saul to find out that if I go down to Bethlehem and Saul finds out that I'm going down to Bethlehem, Saul will try to kill me. I don't know if you know what I know, because if God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Though your enemies may rise up, God will sweep over them like a flood. If God intends for something to be so, the Lord will prepare the way on your behalf. And so it was. God told Samuel to go. He said, you go and take a heifer with you. So the second point that I would like to make, do what the Lord says. Many of us try to do what everybody else says. Follow everybody else's instruction. You have Ayanla Van Zant fixing your life. You have Oprah Winfrey trying to write up a prescription for your situation. Steve Harvey trying to fix your relationship. I've come to let you know that instead of following what everybody else is saying, we need to take a page out of the Bible and listen to what God has to say. And so God tells Samuel, take a heifer with you. Take a heifer with you. This will be the sign. And make it seem like you're going for a sacrifice. See, when you do things the Lord way, see, folk will think that you're coming in a different regard. But God has already set it up all along. Touch somebody, and God is setting you up for your breakthrough. God is setting you up for your blessing. God is setting you up for your miracle. It's on the way. Hallelujah. And so, he said, take the heifer with you. And then when you get there, I want you to invite Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And in Jesse's house, the king of Israel will come. Samuel did exactly what the Lord said. How many of us follow God? I mean, the first time. When we seek God, when we listen to God, when God gives us instructions, how many of us seek God? How many of us do exactly what the Lord says do? The Lord didn't send you to the payday lender. The Lord didn't send you to the loan shark. But the Lord said, wait on me. Be of good courage, and I will strengthen your heart. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you tried to do everything you could to get it? And everywhere you tried to go to get whatever you thought you wanted, the doors kept slamming shut in your face. But I wish I had a witness today that was your blessing right there. You should have left that thing alone because God didn't intend for you to have that. And just because God didn't want you to have that didn't mean he was not going to bless you anyhow. Wait on the Lord. I think I'll do a shout right there. And so he told him to invite Jesse to the sacrifice. This is a supplemental point, but this is not my third point. I just want to make a supplemental point. Be careful who you invite. Everybody shouldn't be invited. Some folk, you gotta leave outside the door. You better be careful who's in your inner circle. Remember, I preached that before when I used a small hula hoop. Be careful the ones you invite in your close proximity. Be careful who you tell all your business to. Be careful who you begin to breathe your closest secrets to. But he told him specifically, invite Jesse. And when you invite Jesse, invite him and all of his sons. The thing I love about Samuel followed God to the T, to the extent where God told him, when you invite Jesse, consecrate him. Glory be to God. See, we don't consecrate ourselves anymore. We just get up and do anything, any old kind of way. But I don't know if you hear what I'm saying today. If you really want God to move in your life, every now and then, you gotta be consecrated. That means you gotta turn your plate upside down and begin to fast before the Lord. Every now and then, when you want God to move in your life, you have to ask him to consecrate me now for thy service, Lord. And so Jesse and his sons were consecrated. They did what Saul Samuel asked them to do. And one by one, they started passing or being presented unto Samuel. And the third point I would like to make, and I'm done. Stop looking at the outside. Stop looking at the outward appearance. Many of us are judging the book by its cover. And so Eliab was presented. He was the first one. And certainly Samuel said, this must be the one, because he got the look. He looks like a king. Well, somebody said Rex Tillerson looked like a Secretary of State. I ain't got no more to say about that. This is not a political sermon. And now the State Department is more neutered than it ever has ever been before. Amen. So you better be careful how folk look. They may have the look, but you better be sure what's in their heart. I dare you to cut yourself and say it's got to be in your heart, because what's in you will come out of you. If it's not on the inside, for you to run to see what the end is going to be, it's not going to come out when the time comes. I don't know about you, but when your mother and your father forsake you, will you be able to stand in the last day? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you when you go through the valley. The Lord will be with you when you go through the storm. The Lord will be with you when you go through the fire. And so it is. He looked at Eliab, and he said, Eliab must be the one. But the Holy Spirit was working with Samuel. The Holy Spirit spoke to Samuel and said, no, that's not the one. And one by one, Abinadab, Shammah, one by one, Jesse presented all the boys in front of Samuel. And one by one, the Holy Spirit began to speak to tell Samuel, that's not the one. Touch somebody and say, you better listen to the Holy Spirit. I wish I had a church today that knew what I was talking about. You better learn how to listen to the Holy Ghost. Because if you listen to the Holy Ghost will save you from making a world of mistakes. Can I get a witness? The Holy Ghost will lead you in the right direction. The Holy Ghost will put you on the right path. The Holy Ghost will align you exactly where you need to be and cause you to make the right decisions. And so, when all the boys had been paraded in front of Samuel, Samuel said, is this it? You got to have one more. And Jesse said, yeah, I got one more. But he's the youngest of them all. And surely he couldn't be the one because he's ruddy. Which then means he hadn't even been freshly shaved. He's out there with the sheep all day long. Which then means he smells like a mess. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But he had to come to Samuel just as he was. He didn't have time to stop by Dillard's. He didn't have time to go to Fad's Barbershop. He didn't have time to get himself together. But when he came, Samuel said, "This is the one. This is the Lord's anointed. This is the King of Israel. This is the one." Not because of what's on the outside, but because of what's in his heart. It's all about what's in your heart. You can be with a person for 50 years, but if it's not in their heart to love you, you just wasted 50 years of your life. I've come to remind you, Mount Zion, that when your heart is in it, God will get the glory. And so it's not because David was made king, but it was because of the anointing. Because of the anointing of God. And David had a heart to serve God. David was able to do what no mortal man could do. Touch somebody and say, "The anointing will take you where your own strength runs out." Touch somebody else and say, "The anointing will make you sing like an angel." Touch somebody else and say, "The anointing will cause you to preach like Paul." The anointing. Oh, I wish I had a church today. The anointing. It makes the difference. It'll make you run like somebody is chasing behind you. The anointing will cause you to sleep when you should be staying up all night long. The anointing will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I want to stop, but I feel like preaching. I want to close this thing, but the anointing. The anointing. It makes the difference. Everybody stand up. I wish you could feel what I feel. Some folk take emotion out of religion. That's bad. Saul became a lunatic because of his raging emotions. His emotions incited his passions to do things that normal folk wouldn't do. Like behaving unseemingly, becoming paranoid, feeling like folk are talking about you when they don't have you to think about. And because of his emotions, God enabled Israel to see that something that was not quite right with Saul. Hallelujah. David, because of his heart for God, possessed an emotional component that caused individuals to know that he was no joke. When he was put up against Goliath, the Philistine, and Saul said, "Well, surely you can't fight the Goliath because you're just a boy." David said, "Well, I'm a shepherd boy. And when the bear came to steal one of my sheep, he said, I climbed up in the mouth of the bear and yanked my sheep out of the mouth of the bear. That made me a bad man. And when the lion came,
after the bear, and because I had a heart for all of my sheep, and didn't want not one of them to get lost, when the lion came to try to steal my sheep, I went up against the lion. David was emotional about his ministry. He was a man after God's own heart, because he recognized that God was nothing more than love. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. When I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. It's love. Love is an emotion, and it turns to action. When you have the anointing of God, the love of God in you is magnified. It's personified. God is glorified. Love chases sin away. Love turns your midnight into day. Love will heal a city and raise a nation. Love, it lifts. When it is mixed with God's anointing and the power of his might, love is able to separate AD from BC, that which he did through Christ on the cross. Choir, as you sing, love lifted me. That's a good one. I don't know what it was supposed to be, but let's sing this one. Because that's part of my testimony. Is there anybody else who was very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more? The one master. I don't care how many denominations, how many faith groups, there's nothing but one master. Heard our despairing cry. From the waters he lifted us. I feel mighty safe right now. Listen to the chorus. When nothing. Anybody want to be saved? Could help. I'm just aware nothing else could help. It was only God's love that did it. Only God's love. Should have been a wretch left undone. The love of God. Look beyond my imperfection. One more time. Even me.
Love lifted me. When nothing else could help.
God our Father, we pray that your love will abide in us. Touch each person at this altar. We don't know what their particular circumstances are, but God, you know all about it. Some of us, we feel like nobody loves us. Every time we turn around, we're lonely and lonesome, and we feel abandoned and deserted. But thank God for the word today that your anointing can teach us that love lifts us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, we thank you for first loving us. We love you so today. Father, we ask you to bathe us in your love so that we may be able to learn that it's not about what's on the outside, but it's all about what's in our hearts. Oh, for a heart to praise our God, a heart from sin set free. God, we ask you to take these individual hearts of ours and begin to use us for your glory. Whatever it is, oh Heavenly Father, that burdens us, whatever it is that binds us, whatever it is that shackles us, whatever it is that holds us back, we ask you, oh Heavenly Father, through your love, lift us where the eagles fly, over high mountains. Take us and enable us, O Heavenly Father, to soar and soar and soar. Through the power of your love, become the wind beneath our wings, so that when we can't go no more, it's you who continue to glide us along life's pathway. Where we're sick, heal our body. Where we're in need, grant whatever it is, if it is your will. Some things must be rejected. You rejected Saul, which causes us to know that from time to time, whatever you put down out of our lives, help us not to pick it back up. If we've already deleted the number, let it stay gone. If we've already erased the contact or blocked it out of our address book, let us not return. If it is your will, O Heavenly Father, invite us to consecrate ourselves and others so that we can be in the company of those who will encourage us, those who will lift up, those who will take us to the next level. And then, Father, we praise your holy name just for the ability to be able to hear your word so that our lives can be changed. And then, God, when we leave this place today, don't leave us. Linger in us. Let us feel your power, your anointing. Allow your love to flow through us so that your anointing can make the difference in our lives. And we'll give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a real hug. Love. Not a play-play hug, a real hug. Brother. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day. Yeah. Ooh, Lord, have mercy, help me, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord. Came upon David from that day forward. I heard Brother Neil's version said that it filled him with power. Glory, hallelujah. What the world needs is a little bit more love. But the anointing mixed with love is what makes the difference. Yes. Glory, hallelujah. So we send you out. You, we send you. Right back on the college campus.
back to Goose Creek, back to Mount Pleasant, send you back to James Island and West Ashley, send you back to Ladson, Somerville. We send you back. Rutledge Avenue. Ashley Avenue. We send you back to your individual place. John's Island. So that you can make a difference this week. Apply the anointing of God to your life and watch what a difference that will make when you all go back to Canada, Quebec or Montreal. I heard the French there. I only go to French-speaking parts of Canada, and so I heard it. I love it. Take the anointing with you and allow the power of God to amplify the love that already exists in your life so that God can get the glory wherever we go.